Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products, Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Wherever you're standing right now, the sun is halfway up. Look towards Dove Valley in Inglewood, and you will see white smoke billowing from the chimney as the Denver Broncos are close to having their guy. They are finalizing compensation for Sean Payton. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, here's the deal. Came down yesterday about, about 2:15 yesterday. Broncos are going to send their first-round pick, which was Bradley Chubb, and next year's second-round pick to the New Orleans Saints for Payton, and the Saints' third-round pick. Ian Rappaport put together a timeline of what had happened over the last 2 weeks. Remember, we kept hearing, well, wait to hear what the process is. Wait to hear what the process is. It'll all be explained once we know what the process is, why it took so long. The Broncos zeroed in. This is according to Rappaport. Broncos zeroed in on D'Amico Ryans. Secretly tried to lure Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. Negotiated the Sean Payton deal. Then tried to hire Ryans again yesterday, and then finalized the deal as their new head coach, which was Sean Payton. Interesting note, Adam Schefter, along with just about everybody in the local media, heard from the Broncos, and the Broncos told Schefter and everybody else in the local media the Broncos did not circle back with Ryans at all, and the Broncos had not talked to Ryans or his agent all week. We can get into that later. What do you think about Payton being the new head coach?
Good. An adult in the room, right? From a standpoint of track record, proven track record, the best choice. Unless you're going to make an argument for Harbaugh, which I think that we all did and understood that these were the two guys moving forward. It has been a long and winding road. It has been some right turns when you thought they were going to go left and some left turns when you thought they were going to go right. There had been some roundabouts, certainly, in this whole thing. It has been a process that is outside the norm for what we have generally experienced. But at the end of the day, I think they end up with an extremely good candidate. And I think that it should lend some stability, hopefully, and provide some culture, a good culture change, from someone that has done it before and done it successfully. And I'm sure that we'll talk about the process. Okay. But at the end of the day, it seems like a pretty good choice to me.
I think it's a very good choice on a lot of different levels.
Right.
The first thing is this. When you look at resume, you can make the case he has the most impressive resume. Although Jim Harbaugh has done it on two different levels, college and pro. But if we're looking at Super Bowls, obviously that is the clincher. We can sit and talk about Sean Payton, Bounty Gate. We can sit and talk about how he had a bunch of seasons with Drew Brees in which they did not have winning records, yada, yada, yada. But the one thing that should probably make Broncos country feel good, the Penners feel good, the Broncos feel good, is the fact that if this doesn't work out with Sean Payton, what else? what the hell else are you going to do? Because it's not like you brought in a first-year head coach like a D'Amico Ryans, right?
Right.
And you're thinking, well, if it goes sideways, then, oh, man, here we go again with the guy without experience, right? If it doesn't work with Peyton, it's not going to work. You brought in the guy who you think is going to make it work, and you could push a lot of chips into the middle of the table and say, if it's going to work, it's going to work with this guy. He's going to change the culture for sure.
No question.
He is a tough guy in terms of the way he approaches his job. He does hold people accountable. Some of the ways he has done it in the past in New Orleans that I have been made aware of, questionable the way he gets his message across. But then again, you can say the same thing about Bill Parcells, his mentor. You can say that about a lot of different coaches.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know where you stand in theory with him. How does he work with Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson seems to want him. Let's put something else out there about Sean Payton. He doesn't seem to be the type of guy who's going to tolerate a celebrity quarterback. That's what Russell Wilson is when you pair him with his wife, a celebrity couple. Russell Wilson wants to be coached. Sean Payton wants to coach. I think, hopefully, that will be a good marriage. With that, I do want to dig into this a little bit, but I'll take a step back before I take a step forward with the next thing I'm about to say. I think the process, we don't have to dig too far deep into this. The process has been frustrating and aggravating, nauseating for a lot of people in Broncos country. Mixed messages every single day. Unfair statement?
Fair statement.
With that, for a guy who experienced this at a pretty decent level, and I'm talking about myself working on this story, I will say that the lengths that people will go to not tell the truth, to get their message out there, whether it is with words or tone, is absolutely breathtaking. How people will try and push a message out there knowing it is absolutely not true, but they'll do it so effortlessly as if I am telling the truth. That's why this whole process happened the way that he did. I saw a report saying the Broncos didn't leak anything during this entire process. This coming from, if I'm not mistaken, some national guys. Pfft. That's not even that I'm not going to even dignify that with a response.
Good for you.
With that, let's talk about the timeline. And you and I talked about it briefly. I understand where the Broncos want to save face for Sean Payton, that they're going to stand up there and say he was our number one choice. And that's fine. That's fine. Ian Rappaport put out there that the Broncos talked to Ryans yesterday, right?
Representation.
Representation. Right. Someone in the circle.
Yeah. Right.
What's the motivation to do that? What's the motivation? Somebody at the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, is trying to make somebody look bad. His motivation is to embarrass Sean Payton. I don't think that's his motivation. I don't think he has motivation to do that.
Well, what does he gain from it?
He gains nothing.
Right.
All he does is gain enemies.
Yeah.
And he works for the NFL.
Right.
Why would he put that out there if he didn't believe it's true? What motivation do the Broncos have to put it out there that they didn't talk to Ryans at all? To save face. And anybody in the local media who wanted to have a conversation with somebody in the Broncos had that opportunity because that message was pushed hard out there. End of the day, the amount of lies, the amount of garbage that was spilled into this process, it feels like you need a shower.
A lot of misdirection.
On purpose.
A lot of misdirection.
Willful, knowingly lying to people, period. Draft compensation, worth it?
Yeah, for Sean Payton. We've had this conversation from the get. Are you talking about the whole package? Are you talking about for Russ and Sean Payton in total?
We'll get to Russ and Payton in total later on.
I had no problem with the compensation whatsoever. None.
Couldn't agree more.
In fact, I thought
it'd be more.
I really did.
Right.
I thought that that they played. That was a win.
Yeah.
That was a win. You're essentially trading Bradley Chubb for Sean Payton. Right.
Well, you're losing a second round pick next year too.
You're right, but you're getting a third to help recover it and to take the sting off of it.
Right.
I mean, so that's not quite a wash, but that's coming out ahead in the what it could have been. I think that the Saints understood that in this cycle, this was going to be it.
Right. I thought they'd lose a first and a third. That's what I thought it would be. But this year's third is worth as much as next year's second. That's just the way it works.
Right.
So if you're going to lose a first and a third, and you're getting a better deal overall, because, yeah, you're losing your second next year, but then you're gaining a third, and you get to keep two-thirds this year.
It's a win.
It's a win. As we talked about yesterday on the show, would you give up two firsts for Kyle Shanahan? Of course you would. Yes. Andy Reid, of course you
yes.
would.
Yes.
If you feel this is the guy that's going to turn it around, yeah.
Right.
You bring him in. He touches far more things in the organization than the 29th overall pick in the draft. I understand there have been some pretty good number 29 picks in the draft, but you hit at that rate at about 15 to 20%.
Yeah, there have been plenty of washouts at number 29 as well.
You know what you're getting with Sean Payton.
Yep.
You don't know what you're getting with the 29th pick.
No.
Simple math. Coming up after the break, how confident are you that Payton can fix Russell Wilson? Especially knowing that, you know, Wilson wants Payton to be his head coach. That's next.
What could I say? It all seemed to make sense. You're taking away.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are having problems with your furnace and it is cold outside, highly recommend you go with Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air. I had a problem with my furnace about a week and a half ago. Thing broke down, 20 years old. Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Eric comes out. At the end of the day, he easily could have sold me a new furnace.
Yeah, and you were expecting to buy a new furnace.
20 years old?
Yeah.
He said, I can fix it. A lot of people would be more than happy to say, here's a bill, because you got to get a new furnace. Love the honesty. Love the integrity. Mighty Plumbing, Heating, Air, Kevin and his crew do a fantastic job. Couldn't recommend them enough. They have over 1,100 five-star Google reviews. Over 1,100 five-star Google reviews. Go to mightyph.com. In the meantime, I just got a tweet 11 minutes ago from Jeff Duncan. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our boy in New Orleans.
Yeah.
At the Times Picayune.
I put out a tweet on January 26th. This has been a bad week for sports journalism. At Colin Cowherd, at Jeff Duncan, at Mark Maskey. 5 days later, this must have been brewing with this guy. To go back to something I tweeted out. As a group, what should I tweet back to this schmuck?
Well, what'd he say?
Funny how life works with a smiley face emoji wearing glasses.
Oh, I'm sure you'll come up with something.
Oh, I could come up with something on my own. Do you want to make it a group
effort?
You
really got me here there, Jeff.
No. I need to be far more cutting than that. I'll come up with something on my own. Believe me, you'll all see it. Probably in the next 15 minutes in the next commercial break.
Attaboy.
Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have over 600 five-star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
You know what? I thought of what I might say. Now that this story is over, you can go on a hunting trip with Rob Walton. How's that? After he apologized profusely for being wrong on that story. Let's not talk about credibility and integrity, Jeff. With that, Russell Wilson wanted Sean Payton, reached out to him, right?
With started that, politicking right after the Chargers game, and then, of course, had the reach out within, what, a week of the process?
Yep. So, how confident do you feel Russ can be fixed?
I think Russ wants to be fixed.
Yep.
That's the first step, right? Isn't it? Isn't that the old tale? You know, the first thing to getting better about something is recognizing what's wrong.
Yep.
I think Russ understands what's wrong.
Right.
And I think that he understands that he is on somewhat shaky ground. Now, he's going to get paid, but from a standpoint of recouping image, recouping legacy, and things of that nature, these are the types of things moving forward that I think probably will benefit Russell Wilson and benefit the Denver Broncos. I think Russ is ready to be fixed, and I think that he is ready to give himself to a guy that that obviously has had tremendous success in doing so with quarterbacks over the 15 years that he was in New Orleans. Now, he had one guy, and I bristle a little bit at people that are quick to say, well, he had Drew Brees. Well, yeah, he had Drew Brees, who had just been jettisoned from the then San Diego Chargers.
Well, he went as a free agent.
Right, but I mean...
And he was a Pro Bowler.
Right, and he was. But the fact of the matter is, the Chargers saw fit to allow him to go. They picked Philip Rivers over Drew Brees. So nothing wrong with that. I get it. I mean, you've got one Hall of Famer for a guy that could be a Hall of Famer. So now let's see what happens, because clearly Drew Brees got better under Sean Payton.
What does Herm Edwards, former NFL head coach, think about the new marriage between Payton and Wilson?
Who's set to benefit the most here from Sean Payton's arrival in your mind?
Well, it's going to be Russell Wilson, obviously, and he's been thrown a lifeline with Sean Payton being his head coach. And I'm pretty sure Sean Payton has watched film on Russell Wilson and felt, you know what, I can help this guy, and he can help me. So with that being said, there's a lot of work to be done here, especially on the offensive side of the football, because their defense is legit. They are a playoff defense. Their problem was they were very inconsistent offensively, and it started with the quarterback. And I think if you're Russell Wilson, and if you looked at the history of how you played this year, this is bad tape. You don't want to end your career looking like this. So now you've been thrown a lifeline. Are you humble enough to take coaching? Because if you're humble enough to take coaching, this man can help you. His stature is similar to Drew Brees. He doesn't have to be a guy to make a lot of plays with his legs. Sean Payton will orchestrate an offense that will allow him to be successful if he's humble enough to listen.
I agree with Herm. And I think that at the very least, Russell Wilson gave us a glimpse in the last 2 weeks, really at various times in the last 3 or 4 weeks, of the types of things that he is capable of when he is put in a position to succeed. That's something to build on. And you know what? Thank you, Jerry Rosberg, and thank you, Justin Outen.
Right.
Because at the very least, there is some film out there that Sean Payton can sit down and say, okay, yeah, I can do something with this.
Right. The only thing that concerns me, although it's not a great concern because you would think that Sean Payton will find a way to pivot, his offensive scheme is clearing out the middle,
right,
short passes over the middle.
Sure.
To me, that's one of the worst things that
Russ doesn't do.
Correct. You don't want to put him in that position, right?
Right.
You want him to use his feet. I mean, listening to what Herm said, you want to kind of turn him into Drew Brees, if I heard him kind of correctly. I don't think he is Drew Brees.
No.
You want to design plays where you have him move his feet. So I respectfully disagree with Herm a little bit, although let's face it, he has forgotten more about football than I know. I think Sean Payton will devise a game plan, I hope, that works well for Russ. It's the old question you ask every single year. If you're a really good coordinator, are you going to use your scheme or are you going to devise a scheme that fits the talent that you have around you?
Well said.
Hopefully, Sean Payton looks at Russell Wilson and says, this is what he does best. Let's be creative with what he does. If he is such a good offensive mind, and from everything that I have heard from other people, he certainly is. With that, the Broncos finished 5-12 last year. Let's say for the sake of argument, they got Mike Kafka. Let's say they got Jonathan Gannon, so on and so forth. Not Sean Payton. How many games do you think they'd have on national television? One?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. We'd be right back to those days, right?
Okay. So if you're a Broncos fan, I'll be Vegas and you be the better. I'll say the over-under for nationally televised games next year for the Broncos, now that they have Sean Payton, ironically not a player, a coach, I'll put it at 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 4. So I guess I'll take the over.
You're going to take the over?
I'll take the over. I think that there's a...
How many 5-12 teams are on national television 4 times? That's the impact that everybody believes Sean Payton could have.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of it may be curiosity factor, but more than anything, it is impact. Yeah. Cade McNown yesterday tweeted out something that he's a +4 kind of guy, that he immediately is good enough to help a football team win 4 more games. Thought that was interesting. I don't disagree with that. I thought we saw something at the end of the day, at the end of the season, that we saw a Russell Wilson that probably could have won them a few more games.
Right.
By the time, now, there wasn't any pressure on the Broncos at that particular point. They were so far out of it, it didn't make any difference. So I understand that you know, the timing of it. But they were playing football teams in the Chiefs and the Chargers that were still playing for something.
Right.
So anyway.
Number win. Okay. Playoffs or bust for this team? Are we going to go there again?
I'm not going to go there. Look, excuse me.
I think it's fair to say if they don't make the playoffs, it was already a huge disappointment.
Right.
With Russell Wilson. Now you bring in Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that going to look like?
Well,
have to make the playoffs, don't they?
Well, I don't know if they have to make the
playoffs. No, they have to make the playoffs.
Okay, well, if you say so.
Wait, are you saying that?
I'm saying that they've got a lot of questions, well beyond just Sean Payton and Russell Wilson and how they work. They have to have an offensive line in front of Russell Wilson. There's huge questions along the offensive front. There are questions across the defensive front. There are questions with Draymond Jones. Are you going to tag him? Is he going to be back? What kind of defensive scheme are they going to run? Who's the defensive coordinator going to be? There are lots of moving parts personnel-wise with the Broncos that helped lead to a 5-12 season. I said 10-7 last year. I thought it was a 10-7 football team. I really did. That's going to kind of be my baseline this year. 10-7 should get you into the playoffs.
Right. Coming up after the break, now that Payton's in the fold, who are the coordinators going to be?
Ah.
Let the speculation begin. Most people are aware of a guy who could be coming back to town, but who would the offensive coordinator be? We've got some thoughts on that next.
My mind's unweaving. Maybe it's best you leave me alone. A weight is lifted.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
So I think I told you that Jeff Duncan out of New Orleans decided to have a little fun with me, going back 5 days with a tweet that I wrote saying it's been a bad week of reporting, and I added, for lack of a better phrase, Colin Cowherd and Maskey out of the Washington Post and Jeff Duncan, and I'm thinking, what am I going to tweet back at him? This is what I came up with. Now that Payton is joining the Broncos, now you'll be able to go on that hunting trip with Rob Walton. Just so you know, I'm not reporting that you're going with Walton because I don't want to have to go back and retract it. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
There's a reason, Jeff, you can't get out of Market 38.
Oh, there you go.
Give me a break.
Now you're making it personal.
A lifer. A lifer in New Orleans where you cover one team. You can put out any misinformation out there. You know why? Because who's going to check it? Who's going to check it, right?
Well, someone checked it enough that he had to retract, what, 5 days ago or whatever it was, or last week.
Right.
A tweet. So,
all right, let's handicap the early favorites to become the Broncos coordinators. Dave Logan, pretty good source.
I'd say so.
Yes.
Yes.
Reporting Sean Payton is courting Vic Fangio, who has an offer from the Miami Dolphins. As for offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi, yes, that name is real. Lombardi, he is the grandson of Vince Lombardi. He was Payton's quarterback's coach in New Orleans from 2016 to 2020. And the reason why you know his name and he's at top of mind is because he just got fired by the Los Angeles Chargers.
The sacrificial lamb
right.
in L.A.
Right.
Ridiculous.
How good would you feel about Fangio coming back?
I think it would create some tumult in the defensive locker room. I don't think that Vic was, I think he was begrudgingly respected more than that for his football acumen and his defensive acumen in particular, but not necessarily in the way that he managed people. And I think that that could be an issue. Although how long guys get in and they assimilate and they get going. And if you're having success and you're winning football games, those are the types of personality conflicts that can kind of go by the wayside pretty quickly. Winning massages all. Isiro Evero, I can see why that would be the preferable way to go, because you get him, if he goes next year on to become a head coach, you're picking up a couple of compensatory picks.
Right.
Which would be fantastic for a team that is a little bit draft strapped at this point. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that you could go wrong from a procedural standpoint with either one of those guys. Remember, Evero is under contract.
Right.
So you can't go wrong either way. It would just be a question of, is Vic comfortable with it? And if Vic is, if he's basically interviewing, or then he must be comfortable with it.
Right.
I mean, why would he even take that phone call if he's not interested in coming back into those halls that he trod a year ago as the head coach? Come on. So I don't know. I don't think they could go wrong from a standpoint with either guy.
You would think that a guy who publicly would admit that he likes to watch the Hallmark Channel. Okay.
Right.
And by the way, I watch it all the time because that's what my wife likes to watch. It's not that I watch it. For me, it's background noise. For her, it's appointment viewing.
Exactly.
That a guy who watches the Hallmark Channel is in touch with who he is and is probably someone who cares and wants to give hugs and all kind of that. That's not who Vic Fangio is.
No, it's not. It's not Vic.
Not at all. He is all football all the time.
Vintage Pennsylvania.
Right. He wants to be in a dark room watching tape.
Yep.
That's who he is. He's not a touchy-feely type of guy. For guys who are, for lack of a better phrase, and I'm not trying to categorize guys on who they are, but for guys who only care about football, let me rephrase that. Guys who care about football and don't care about all of the bedside manner stuff, like Josie Jewell, I will bring his name up specifically.
Sure.
He is a guy who he doesn't need the hugs. He doesn't need the attaboys. He just wants to go out and play football.
Yep.
Okay. Guys like him will not have a problem with Vic Fangio coming back. It's the guys who want you to know they're married. They have a couple of kids. This is where they went on vacation. They want the coach to get to know them as people. I don't think that that registers with a guy like Josie Jewell. He just wants to play football.
Yeah.
It's not to say that Josie's not a touchy-feely guy, but there are some guys who are like that. There was a guy, a leader on the team, Vic Fangio's first year, said to me after the season, he said to me, I don't think Vic knew that I had a family.
Oh,
and he was
absolutely.
And trust me when I tell you, very popular guy in that locker room, very well-liked guy in that locker room, really good player. He was bent out of shape over it because Vic didn't get to know him. Certain guys who didn't get that touchy-feely stuff from Vic might not be thrilled about him coming back. Guys who only care about football and they don't need all that other stuff, and some guys do and there's nothing wrong with it. Those guys who need that stuff might not be that happy, but remember, it's only half the locker room now. Remember, it's not the offensive guys anymore.
No, you're right.
It's just the defensive guys.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I don't think you've got to be touchy-feely, but I do think that you have to connect on some level.
In today's NFL.
Yes, I do
correct.
Think that. And, I really do.
And you know what's interesting? We look at old school coaches, and you see the video of Vince Lombardi. He looked like a guy who was football all the time. From everything that I have read and seen, I haven't talked to anybody about him. I'd be lying if I said that I did. He is the guy who really got to know his players.
Right.
And his players adored him. That's not Vic Fangio's personality. Bill Parcells doesn't strike me as a guy who is overly effusive, right? He's a football guy through and through. Chuck Knoll was absolutely that way. Tom Landry was that way. I don't know if Don Shula was that way.
Marty Schottenheimer won 200 games in the NFL, never won the big one.
Right.
We get it. But he could relate to players.
Right.
Players loved Marty Schottenheimer. And Marty was, I think we would agree, Marty was pretty old school.
I'll give you a guy who loved playing for Bill Parcells, even though Bill Parcells was not a touchy-feely guy. Loved playing for Bill Parcells. Nick Ferguson. Loved playing. He still talks to me about Bill Parcells. With that, we will see. Although some people have said, what about Evero coming back? I don't think Evero wants to come back.
No, I just don't think that fits.
And I put something out on Twitter yesterday. The reason why I don't think that he wants to come back is his loyalty is to Nathaniel Hackett. He came here because his friend came here. Then his friend got fired. Then they asked him to be the interim head coach, and he didn't take the interim coach job for a couple of reasons. One of them being, and I think mainly, he didn't want to take the job of his friend. And some people have said, well, he just needs to get over it. Evero just needs to get over it. There is an over 20-year relationship between Hackett and Evero dating back to college. I'll ask anybody out there who disagrees with me as I just said this. If you have a friend for over 20 years, if you're willing to step on your friend to step higher up on the ladder, maybe the problem is you.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would think if you have a friend for 20 years and he's a really good friend, your loyalty is towards your friend. You are not about improving your lot in life on the back of your friend who got thrown into the mud.
Ejiro Evero understands where he is right now.
Right.
It may not come this year, but it's coming.
But I'll tell you this.
And he's going to be a head football coach.
Yeah.
And he needs to do it on his terms. You know what? That kind of loyalty, that should be
applauded. Yeah.
I mean, my deal is good for you. Attaboy.
You want me to give you a very selfish reason?
Sure.
On why the Broncos should want Evero to stay as the defensive coordinator and not Vic Fangio?
Go.
If Evero stays, and I don't think anyone would have any problems with that, really good defensive coordinator. I don't think he's particularly pleased with the ownership group. I mean, at the end of the day, he wanted to interview for the defensive coordinator job with the Falcons, and they turned him down.
Right.
He's not really happy right now. But let's say Sean Payton walks up to Evero and says, hey, I would like you to be my defensive coordinator. You want that to happen. As a matter of fact, you might want that. Okay, I'm gonna put it out there like this. Vic Fangio on a scale of defensive coordinator, 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, is a what?
8.
Ejiro Evero.
7.5.
Fine. Now, let's throw these two ingredients into the pot of gumbo. If Ejiro Evero stays one more year and then becomes a head coach, the Broncos get a pair of third round draft
ding,
picks.
Ding, 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 ding. And that's huge.
Compensatory.
That's huge.
They get a pair of third round compensatory picks.
No question.
And you don't want to keep them because you potentially get the picks. You want to keep them because you want to keep them.
He's good. He's good at what he does.
If you're going to say to me that Vic Fangio is an 8 and Evero is a 5.5, get Fangio. But if it's really that close and the defensive players love Evero and you know there's not going to be a potential conflict with Evero staying in the building as opposed to potentially Vic Fangio, you want Peyton to pick Evero.
Sure.
For a lot of different reasons. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The GOAT says he's retiring for good, and the Nuggets got back to their winning ways against the fading Pelicans last night. That's all coming up next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Don't believe everything that you breathe. They get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your fruit stand and burning down the trailer park.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back, Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for a wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, after losing two straight to end their mini road trip, the Nuggets got back in the win column against the Pelicans as they won 122-113, and it was the Murray and Jokic show as Murray had 32 points. Jokic had another triple-double, 26 points, 18 rebounds, and 15 assists. Also, Bones Highland played all of 5 minutes in the win. Malone changed up his bench rotation in the third quarter and gave more minutes to Christian Brown. Thoughts on the win and Highland barely playing last night?
Well, the minutes he played were not very good. Turned it over a couple of times and looked like he was being somewhat selfish. I will say this. The Nuggets defensively were awful in the first quarter. Gave up 35 points. Granted, New Orleans shot the ball well, but they turned it over and really looked rusty. They battened down the hatches and played well the rest of the way. Let's not just take for granted the whole Nikola Jokic. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying, generally speaking, pay homage. 26 points, 18 rebounds, and 15 assists. The guy just comes to play every single day. And with those 15 assists last night, now is averaging a triple-double for the season.
Oscar Robertson, was he a point guard?
No.
What was he, a two guard?
Yeah. Okay. He was, or a small forward even at that point.
Okay.
That time.
Well, certainly Nikola Jokic would be the first center ever
the first point center.
Right. Right.
Right.
Only three players in NBA history have ever averaged a triple-double. Oscar Robertson did it for his career, by the way, which is breathtaking in itself.
Totally.
Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. And now you have Jokic potentially doing this. To me, the biggest takeaway is Bones Highland. This phrase is used often in sports. It's a cliche, and I'll use it on him. A change of scenery will do him good, and a change of scenery will do the Nuggets good. I think that Michael Malone is now fully out of patience. I have very little doubt that they will trade him no matter what they can get back.
I'm with you.
You know, Malone talks a lot about culture in the locker room.
He does.
That's really, really important to him. I'm not suggesting Bones Highland is a cancer in that locker room. I know he's been grumbling privately, right? I don't think that's a big secret. But then you see him on the floor. He just doesn't fit
No.
the Bronco. The, he doesn't fit the Nuggets team.
I would agree.
Tremendous talent, but doesn't fit the team. Kind of like you could bring Russell Westbrook in today. Let's say you did. He doesn't fit the team, even though at one point he was a great player, and he probably still could put up some pretty good numbers.
Sure.
All right, just in case you missed it, this morning Tom Brady has announced on social media that he's retiring after 23 seasons. The seven-time Super Bowl champion says, "I'm retiring for good." Brady holds every major NFL passing record. Is this morning's retirement announcement truly the end of his illustrious career? And how different will the NFL be without Tom Brady?
Yes, I think that this... I chuckled a little bit, even though I thought it was a very... I heard the statement. He released it this morning and heard it, and it was emotional, and I respect that, obviously, when you've spent 25 years doing something, and it's going to mean a great deal to you, and it's obviously meant a great deal to him. But he also said, I kind of used up my retirement goodwill last year, so I'm not going to go down that road. Good for him. He read the room and understood that a little bit. So, yeah, I think he's out of it. And we can all just marvel at the career that he's had. He's the greatest of all time. There is no question. There is no argument. But we've been down this road, and I'm ready to turn the page. We'll see him in the booth next year making more money in the booth than he did playing football.
Non-football people might disagree. I'll take the side of football people. Quarterback is the most important position in sports. Now, you can argue goalie in hockey if you want to, and that's fine. But it takes the most mental toughness. It takes the highest football IQ. It takes the highest sports IQ to play the quarterback position because you have to do so many things in a split second. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback in terms of talent to ever play the game? No. But I will say this, he's the least greedy. And by him being the least greedy, he got what he wanted. He is on top of the mountain by himself as the guy who has won the most Super Bowls. He realized he's going to get paid anyway. Legacy will last forever. Money, yeah, when you make that type of money, I suppose you could say that's going to last forever as well. But when he's long, long gone, his legacy will be, what, seven Super Bowl wins? And if he we have used this stat before. Since 2012, no quarterback who has taken up 12.5% of his team's salary cap has won a Super Bowl. This year, that streak could be broken if Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl. But from 2012 up until today, you know it exemplifies that point perfectly. I think Tom Brady won two or three Super Bowls during that stretch. Now, how is that possible? That's because he didn't need to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
And following up your point, and it's a very good one, the fact that he did better things for the team off the field than he even did on the field, which I think is what you're saying. The fact that he recognized that he could give up certain money to have better players in around him was absolutely genius.
He was the ultimate team player
in a
team sport by trying to put the best team around him. Let's be honest here. I'm not making comparisons here, but if we're being completely honest here, okay, who are Peyton Manning? Listen, Peyton Manning to me is the second best quarterback to ever play this game, or third, maybe behind Montana if you want to put him behind him. And that's fine with me. Wherever you want to put Manning, that's fine.
Whatever.
Okay. Right. With that, Manning had Reggie Wayne,
Marvin Harrison.
He had Demaryius Thomas. He had Wes Welker. He had a whole host of great wide receivers. He had Randy Moss for a couple of years, and I understand he had Gronkowski, Troy Brown, Deion Branch.
Just a lot of dudes, guys
that he made better. And Peyton Manning made Harrison better, made Wayne better. I'm with you on all of that. But he didn't have that type of talent, yet still won Super Bowls.
You got it.
All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. You can't do that in the big box stores. They'd look at you like you're nuts if you said, "Hey, can I try out this range?" Like, get the hell out of here. Just go buy something for your phone. I mean, they sell everything at a big box store. Mountain High Appliance, they specialize in appliances. You want to see what an entire kitchen can look like? Walk into either of their showrooms in Louisville or Littleton. But go as well to their clearance center in Denver, where there are rows and rows and rows of specially marked down appliances that you can get great deals on. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville. Littleton, you can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, it looks like Sean Payton's the guy, I say look like, because the deal hasn't been signed yet. They're still working out compensation. But when you look at basically one specific stat about Sean Payton, just one, this should give you a lot of hope. And I'll give you a hint. If they bring back Teddy Bridgewater, it might not be a bad idea. What? That's next.
Why the words you say? Done driving the big ones. You a monkey on a string. Done cut my life.